I do not necessarily know about your family, but I certainly know that my family has a few Christmas movies that we enjoy watching every December. One of those Christmas movies is the movie Elf. My kids in particular, 8, 6, and almost 3, they go bonkers every time we watch this movie, which is probably like 3 times a year. But in all fairness, it is not just the kids that like this movie. I actually very much enjoy the movie Elf myself, and I have never shied away from the fact, I have never denied the fact that one time, you might have heard this before, I've never shied away from the fact that one time I did indeed cry at the end of the movie Elf, when Buddy's dad finally starts singing out loud and the clausometer reaches full strength and the sled takes flight, right? It's a pretty touching little moment in the movie Elf, and honestly, the whole movie is filled with some very memorable moments. One that is particularly striking to me in my mind is when Buddy the Elf, if you've seen the movie, he comes from the North Pole, and he all of a sudden arrives, you know, for the first time in the city of New York. And this particular scene, when he arrives in New York, it begins with like a towering shot of the Empire State Building, and it ends with a scene of the downtown skyscrapers. And in between is a constant reel of Buddy in New York City, clearly out of place. I mean, he's in like the green elf suit for one, and a sea of New Yorkers wearing business suits. He doesn't get how taxis work. He doesn't know what to do in a crosswalk. He's like clearly never seen a revolving door before. It's a very funny, very effective little scene that makes one thing very, very clear. Buddy is clearly in a place in which he is entirely, entirely unfamiliar. And I cannot help but wonder how many of you, how many of us here today, how many of you joining in with us online, I cannot help but wonder how many of you would admit to the very same thing in your life this Christmas. Now, I'm not suggesting that any of you are going to be misplaced in the city of New York this Christmas. I'm not suggesting that any of you are unfamiliar with your surroundings here in the St. Croix Valley. But I wonder if any of you are perhaps in a place in your life or in a season in your life that feels somewhat unfamiliar, maybe that feels somewhat uncertain or maybe unwanted, or maybe it's just a season or a place in your life right now that feels just pretty unexpected. See, these are the places in your life and in my life, unwanted, uncertain, unexpected places or seasons. These are the places that I want to explore a little bit. I want to consider a little bit further today in the second week of our series, Unexpected, right? As we examine some of the stories and some of the details surrounding the birth of Jesus, I think what we see is that there are some gifts that God wants to deliver to us this Christmas that are wrapped in some pretty unexpected packages. And so my goal throughout this series has been to help all of us see how it is that God might be at work around us right now, maybe in ways that we couldn't quite see otherwise. Last week, we talked about the delays and some of the setbacks and some of the detours that we experience in life and how sometimes they can be God's defense against destructive outcomes that we just did not see coming. If you missed it, I'd love to have you go back and catch up on our YouTube channel to learn a little bit more about maybe the timeline that God has you and me on, right? We talked about detours. Truthfully, though, any talk of detours raises, and it did raise last week, an interesting point of clarification, right? That you can't really have a detour if you haven't really identified a destination. Right? If you don't have a destination in mind, right, then you can't really have a detour interrupted. And so I think it's a very real possibility that some of you are saying, hey, Sten, you know, I'm not really sure right now at this time in my life if I have a real crystal clear destination in mind for a detour to come along and interrupt. Maybe some of you are saying, hey, truth be told, I'm really just trying to survive today. I'm just trying to make sense of where I find myself today, right now. And that's completely understandable. And if that's you, what I'd say is that you're not alone by any stretch of the imagination. You're not alone. I think many people find themselves in a place that feels unfamiliar, or that feels unwanted, or certainly that feels unexpected. And so what I want to suggest to you today, as we just get things going here, what I want to suggest to you today is that God is not surprised by where you find yourself today. Okay, I'm not necessarily saying that God sent you to that place, that God planned for you to be wherever it is that you find yourself today, but I do not think that he is surprised by it, and maybe most of all, I do not believe that he is kind of handcuffed by it either. And beyond that, what we're going to see today as we continue in this story, what we're going to see is that God actually has a history of calling his people out of the most unexpected places. In fact, in the moments following the birth of Jesus, Mary and Joseph and little baby Jesus, they find themselves in a situation, in a place that I almost guarantee was completely unfamiliar, and I gotta believe was most certainly pretty unwanted for them. See, God had called them on this whole, you know, be the parents of the, you know, Savior of the world journey, and he didn't really provide a roadmap for them. And so I'm not really sure if they had a destination in mind, and yet where they end up in the moments following the birth of their son had to be incredibly unexpected. And so that's what I want to look at today. Before we get there, let me just summarize where we have been so far, what's taken place. It's chapter 2 in the book of Matthew, who's one of the four people who wrote about the events in Jesus' life. And so chapter 2 of this book begins by informing its readers that Jesus was born at a time when Herod ruled in Judea. Herod considered himself to be the king of the Jews. And so he did not really take kindly to the news that there was this supposed newborn king of the Jews on the horizon. And so last week we saw that Herod sent wise men to Bethlehem to get all of the details on the birth of Jesus and to come report back to him. And while these wise men may have been there undercover, so to speak, upon seeing Jesus with their own eyes, they appear to have a change of heart and they respond in true worship to Jesus. And when it is now time for them to leave and to return home, God intervenes and God sends them on an alternate route, right? That's where we saw that detour. God sends them on a detour so that they can avoid Herod and his deceitful plans. But as we will pick up now, Herod will not go down without a fight. And so here's what happens next. It's Matthew chapter 2, and we'll pick up here in verse 13. It says, after the wise men were gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. And if you remember what I had said last week, if you were with us, it was believed that in the ancient world that dreams were a means of divine communication. And so here, God is communicating with Joseph. He's warning Joseph, and here's the message that he sends. Get up and flee to Egypt with the child and his mother. An angel, you know, communicated with Joseph. The angel said, stay there until I tell you to return, because Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. Okay? You see, Herod ultimately finds out that the wise men outwitted him by taking the long way home, and he's furious about it. He's furious about the whole thing. So now he can't take Jesus out with the precision strike that he was hoping for, and so he has to settle for plan B, which is a much, much broader approach. And so he actually orders for all baby boys 2 years and younger in and around Bethlehem to be killed, right? With his fingers crossed that Jesus would be taken out in the mix. And so Jesus was not safe anywhere near Bethlehem. And so God tells them to flee to Egypt. Why Egypt? Well, in Egypt, Herod had no jurisdiction, right? And so he would be safe there. And so God sends the message, pack your bags. You guys are headed out. And now at this point, Joseph, he's the one that kind of received, you know, the news. He's the one that kind of got the warning. At this point, Joseph could have said, you know what? That's it. Yeah, I'm gonna check out here, right? I tried God. I tried to stay in the game here. I tried to do what you asked me to do, but this is too much. This is too bizarre. This is really, you know, crossing the line a little bit. But he doesn't respond like that. He doesn't do that. In fact, here's how he responds in verse 14. It says, That night Joseph left for Egypt with the child and Mary, his mother, and they stayed there until Herod's death. Okay? Now, I'm just going to go out on a limb here and suggest that this is not typically the kind of news that new parents enjoy receiving. Like, hey, I know your whole world just turned upside down here, but pack your bags and hit the road because there is a hit out on your son's life, right? So you guys got to get out of Dodge. I can't imagine that was the kind of news that they were hoping for in these first few moments. And I actually vividly remember my firstborn child, our daughter Lucy. She had eye complications when she was born, and our world just about stood still for the first 3 days after her life. And never in my wildest dreams did I expect to be in an operating room with my five-week-old daughter with her eyes pried open with instruments that, you know, felt as large as her tiny little head. Okay, so I cannot imagine how Mary and Joseph are handling this news about the threat to the life of their newborn son and the fact that they've got to escape and flee to Egypt, right? This whole virgin birth thing was pretty unexpected and at a certain point, pretty unwelcome journey as it was, but it feels to me as if this new wrinkle, this new detail would be the straw that finally breaks the camel's back, right? They finally go through with this whole thing. They deliver the baby in a barn, and the next thing they know, they're fleeing for their life, or at least fleeing to protect the life of their newborn son, camped out over the border in an unfamiliar place for who knows how long. Okay, the Bible doesn't give an exact timeline, but most scholars estimate that they stayed in Egypt for anywhere between a few months and 2 years. Not that they knew what to expect, but they were camped out for quite some time. And yet, as I alluded to as I began, I don't think this caught God off guard. Okay, I don't think this disrupted God's great rescue mission of which Jesus was kind of the leading actor in, right? I don't think this threw any of the plan off, because look what Matthew writes next about where it is that Jesus found himself. Here's what he writes as verse 15 continues. This fulfilled, right? Jesus and his family fleeing to Egypt. This fulfilled what the Lord had spoken through the prophet. Out of Egypt, I called my son. See, God was not surprised. He was not caught off guard, and God was not thrown off balance or handcuffed by where it was that Jesus was at this moment. In fact, based on what some prophets foretold long before, it seems as if all of this was the fulfillment of a promise, right? If you're a Bible expert, you might be thinking, well, okay, God called his son out of Egypt, sure, right? God called his people out of slavery in Egypt long before this. You would be very correct about that. Many scholars, however, consider this to be the actualization, right? The ultimate fulfillment, right? Jesus being called out of Egypt when the time was right. They would consider this the ultimate fulfillment of the promise that God made to rescue his people once and for all. Right, this unexpected place was the very scenery of God's kind of most amazing promise being fulfilled for his people. Out of Egypt, I've called my son. See, in Egypt, Jesus may have been out of Herod's jurisdiction. That's why they fled there. He may have been out of Herod's jurisdiction, but make no mistake, as we understand what's happening here, make no mistake, he was not out of God's jurisdiction, right? There is nowhere Jesus could have been that would have put him out of God's reach, and there is no threat that could have thwarted God's plan for him in the world. In Midcurrent, here's what I want to say to you today. The same thing is true for you, right? No matter where you are today, you are well within God's jurisdiction. No matter where you find yourself today, in whatever unwanted, uncertain place, right? Please hear me loud and clear. You are well within God's reach. In fact, where you are right now, where you are today, however unexpected or unwanted or uncertain a place or a season it may be, right? Wherever it is that you are, it could be. It could be the backdrop. It could be the earliest stages of the fulfillment that God wants to bring about for you, the fulfillment of a promise that God has made to you. Because as we have seen, right, in this story here, God specializes. He has a history in calling people out of unexpected places in which they find themselves. He isn't fazed by our changing circumstances. And so I'm curious today. I don't know where everyone is at. I don't know what it's like for everyone to walk in these doors today, but I'm curious as to what place it is that you find yourself today. And I wonder what situation in your life feels perhaps unfamiliar. I wonder what situation feels uncertain. I wonder what situation feels unwanted or maybe just unexpected to you right now. Maybe for you it's raising kids that feels that way. Maybe it would be motherhood that felt that way for you. You didn't expect it to be so hard. You didn't realize the toll it would take or the sacrifice it would require or the hold that it would put on so many other parts of your life. And you're kind of a little, you know, disoriented going, God, you know, where am I right now? Or maybe you're a single parent, you're a single mom, or you're a single dad. Never in your wildest dreams did you imagine that you'd end up where you are. You're raising kids by yourself. Maybe you're working multiple jobs. You never get a break. You never get to be alone. And you're asking God, how did I end up here? Right? Maybe your marriage has gone cold or grown stale. Maybe after, you know, 5 or 10 years only, maybe the magic has started to fade, right? That the romance is gone. You're two passing ships in the night. You communicate with text messages. Your whole life just kind of revolves around your kids' lives. And if someone would have told you that this might be the case 10 years ago, when you stood at the altar, you would have said, you are out of your mind. But nonetheless, here you are. Maybe right now at this season in your life, maybe you're up to your eyeballs in debt. Right? Maybe it was student loans or maybe it was a season in life that you just kind of things got out of control. Maybe it was a business deal that went south. And now every day feels like you're suffocating, right? It feels like you're buried underneath a pile of bills and you cannot seem to find your way out. Maybe a relationship in your life has gone south. Never did you ever imagine in your wildest dreams, never did you think that you'd feel like a stranger in your own family or in your own community or in your own neighborhood, right? But one thing led to the next, time has gone on, and now there's what feels like a giant chasm between where you are and where you'd like to be. Maybe you took a break from church in college, maybe you took a break from church as a young professional, or maybe you took a break from church during this little unique period of life that we refer to as COVID, right? You can't say you ever predicted it, right? It's not that you really wanted to check out or to disengage, but life kind of went on and here you are. Now you're unplugged, right? You're disconnected from community and you're starting to grow stagnant, grow stale in your faith, right? Maybe you're a few years into retirement thinking, so what's next, right? Maybe you're in a season of depression or addiction or doubt or maybe it's something else that only you know about or that God knows about. Whatever it is, I'm not saying that God is happy about it. I'm not saying that God is kind of chuckling to himself about it up in heaven. I'm not saying that God caused it or that God planned it, but I am saying that God can call you out of it. Maybe when you least expect it, right? Where you are now, whatever place, whatever situation, whatever season you are in right now, it could be the backdrop. It could be the landscape for the beginning stages of a promise that God wants to fulfill for you, because the truth is there is no distance too far, there is no situation too big, right? God can call you out of wherever it is that you are at a moment's notice. The big question, however, the big question is this. Will you be ready? Will you be ready? Right? Your situation may be unique to you, that's for sure. But one thing I think is the same for everyone, regardless of where it is that we find ourselves right now. Wherever it is that you find yourself today, you have a decision to make. You have a choice to make. And that choice is this. Will you check out or will you dig in? Right? But based on what it is that you are experiencing right now, right? It might be so unwanted, so uncertain, so unwelcome, so unexpected, the temptation is going to be to check out, right? And so you have a choice. Will you check out or will you dig in? Because you very well might be in a place that you didn't want to be or in a situation that you didn't want to be. And truthfully, everyone would probably understand if you just threw in the towel. Right, threw your hands up, raise the white flag, right? The mountain is too tall, the debt is too high, the road ahead is too difficult, right? They are too stubborn, reality is too painful. There's no way I could ever, how in the world could this happen, right? Everyone would understand if you just kind of said, you know what, I'm done. And I'm not intending to make light of any of those situations or act like they are not potentially a really big deal, a significant deal in your life right now. I have been in and I am in some of those situations in my own life, and they're hard, but my hope is this. My hope is that you would see those situations, those places, those seasons in life. My hope is that you would see those situations not as excuses to give up, but my hope is that you would see those places in life as invitations to dig in. Right? To dive a little deeper, to stay ready for what it is that God might be calling you to. Right? So dig into his word. Whatever season you're in right now, whatever place you find yourself, dig into his word, invest into his church, right? Surround yourself with community. Reach out to those in your life that love you. Invite accountability, right? Ask hard questions. Stay curious. Stay humble. Keep yourself sharp and keep yourself pointed in the right direction. Folks, I don't really know what it is that you specifically need right now. I don't exactly know where it is that you are today in your life, but here's what I want to say to you, right? Don't give up in the middle of where it is that you don't want to be, right? Don't give up in the middle of where you don't want to be, because wherever it is and whatever reason you are there, make no mistake, it is well within. You are well within God's jurisdiction. You cannot escape, you cannot elude, and you cannot fall away from the far-reaching hand of God in your life. A hand that may want to call you out, pull you out of whatever unexpected place you find yourself in right now. And so, mid-current, what if we lived every day like we believed that that was true, that God was ready to call us out, to pull us out of those places? What if we lived every day like it was the day that it could all start to change, or like it was the day that God was going to call us out of whatever situation we found ourselves in? See, I think it would start to change the way that we saw our situation. I think it would start to change the way that we saw ourselves, or maybe even change the way that we saw the world around us. And not only would that be really good news for us, but here's what I think would be really powerful about that for a community like this. Here's what I think would be so powerful. I think the whole world would start to notice that shift in us. I think they'd be saying, hey, you ever see those Jesus followers, right? You ever met that crew over at Midcurrent, right? You can't shake them. Whatever comes their way, they never give up. They never throw in the towel. They never compromise their integrity. They never take the shortcut. They never settle for the easy way out. They never turn their back on the God that they put their hope and their trust in every single day. I think the world would start to notice. And so, friends, because of what I know, because what I believe that God is capable of doing, in whatever situation that we find ourselves in right now, because of what I know God is capable of doing, I'm hoping that this kind of attitude that I described, I'm hoping that it would be true of me, and I'm also hoping that it would be true of you as well. And that's my prayer for you, for me, and for us. Let me close with that prayer right now. God, we give you thanks for this season. We give you thanks for the stories that remind us of the incredible news of the birth of your son, Jesus. God, it is the news that that you are, God is with us. That's Emmanuel. That's what we sang about today. God, what incredible news it is to know that you are not some God in a galaxy far, far away, but that you are a God who is personal, right? Who came in the flesh to be with us, to walk among us. God, we give you thanks for that. And God, I just have a hunch that there may be some of us here today who are in a place in life, despite the fact that we know and we've heard that you're with us, God, we might be in places that that we don't want to be. Might be in the middle of situations in life. We might be in the middle of seasons of life that we didn't see coming. God, they're unwanted. They're unfamiliar. They're unwelcome. Or at the very least, they are just completely unexpected. We never imagined that we would be where we are right now. We never imagined that we would be where we are this Christmas in some area in our life. God, and I pray that you would just find a way to remind each and every one of us, God, that no matter where we are not outside of your reach. There's nowhere we could go. There's no situation that could become of us. There are no circumstances that could envelop us, God, that would mean that we are outside of your reach to call us out and to pull us out of wherever it is that we are. God, it's not a guarantee, it's not a sure thing, but we absolutely believe that where we are right now, God, could be the beginning of a promise that you want to fulfill in our life. God, a promise for our future, a promise for hope, and for all the things that you would be calling us to, God. So for any of us who are in that place, God, I pray that you would help develop in us the grit and the courage to hold on, to stay the course, God, to keep our feet on the path that you have placed us on, to stay ready, to stay confident, to stay faithful on the journey that we're on, God, waiting for the day that you might call us to something even greater. God, we pray that the great things to come would be things that are for your good, God, our good, your good as well, and for the good of this community and for the good of those who are still unsure of who you are, God, in the love that you have for them. I pray that our lives would paint a small picture of your love for the world. And we pray all of these things in your name. Amen. Hey, thank you so much for being here today. Just a reminder, if you want to grab a Raise Them Up folder, if you're kind of new with us and want to hear more about the project that we are up to, grab them at the welcome desk. We've got Christmas Eve invite cards for you, so make sure to grab one for yourself, and then make sure to grab 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 or 10 if you want to pass those out to friends and neighbors in your life. We'd be so glad to have you join us for that. And next week, I hope you'd come back. We've got some really good news for anyone who may feel as though they have a unwanted or an unflattering label in their life. I'm really excited. Haley Leverty, our ministry assistant, is going to be here to share some really good news for any of us who feel like that might be true of us. We'll be right back here at 10:30, both on site and online, and we hope to see you then. God bless you. Have a great afternoon.